Well, hello, this is Consumerization Nation. I'm Jack Madden, and as usual, I'm joined by Colin Steele and James Furbish. Hey, guys.
Good afternoon from Boston on this special Friday edition of Consumerization Nation.
Yeah, we were making a big deal about how it was Friday, but we've done this on a Friday before. We've done this on, like, all days of the week.
I know we did it on one other Friday. I think I did it from home, though. But anyways, it's a, you know, it's afternoon here on a Friday, so...
So it's almost quitting time then, yeah?
So if we hear any craziness in the background or whatever.
Yeah. You know, the usual like confetti being shot off, and we have a house DJ coming in a little bit to pump the tune. So
it's basically like halftime in an NBA basketball game around here in about 2 hours. So just FYI.
Really? Awesome. So we're gathered here today to talk about the subject that's on everybody's mind. Well, at least everybody's mind in our, you know, enterprise mobility management loving community. And that would be iOS 7. Are you guys excited as I am?
I thought you were
going to
say the royal baby.
Yeah, what did they end up naming? George, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
But now that that's out of the way, we can focus on iOS 7.
The summer of 2013 will have two big memories for me, the royal baby and iOS 7.
Maybe they can get the baby an iPhone and then, you know, they'll combine.
Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, okay, so so iOS 7, big deal, right? Like, I've been having a lot of conversations about this with a lot of people over the last couple of weeks, especially at Briforum. And like the consensus is coming to be like this is, you know, one of those revolutionary once every couple of versions, you know, big changes like akin to what iOS 4 was when over-the-air configuration profiles were first introduced.
Yeah, I mean, those flat icons are really going to mix things up here. Now it's all about the management features that are being added. The design is nice too, but you know, I think for our audience and the people listening to the show, you know, nobody really cares what something looks like. They care how they can manage and secure it. And a lot of the technologies and ways of doing things that we've been talking about for the past almost 2 years now about managing applications and focusing on the data and the apps and not so much on the device is being built into iOS 7. And I think that's a really important step because, you know, MAM, I think, is one of those things that companies don't realize they need until they have it. And Apple has taken this approach with a lot of consumer technologies in the past. Like, you didn't realize you needed a portable music player that could store your entire collection until the iPhone came out and everybody bought it. And then it's all these consumer features are being added into the iPhone that you don't really think about. And then people start using them. You're like, how did I live without this? I think the same phenomenon is going to take place with IT administrators when iOS 7 comes out and all of this stuff is free on the devices that well, not free for everybody, free for IT because users are buying these devices or upgrading their devices and bringing it in. And all of a sudden they have the wherewithal to give MAM a spin, say that three times fast, and try it out and, you know, see if it's the right approach for them without having to, you know, evaluate some vendor who
well
either has never done mobility before and is trying to get into the mix or some startup who's probably pretty good at mobility but who knows if they'll be around in 2 years.
Right. Well that's like the easy, like the app management is easy and free, assuming you're doing some, like, you know, some sort of mobility management on the other end that can, like, it's not completely free. You still need
right.
that.
I mean,
you still need a third-party server on the other end.
Right. There's other stuff that will need to go on, but I mean, it's an impetus to try it at least because it's going to be there for the taking.
So you think then that this is a like that this will be a big like a big thing that will cause more people to think about doing mobile application management?
It's like a good built-in test environment, I guess. Would be the best way to put it. You know, you have this You can try it out and see if it works for you. Obviously, you know, the mindset behind MAM is so different than the endpoint focused way that IT has traditionally managed its infrastructure that it's not going to be something that you can just move to overnight, even if you fall in love with the technology that people are bringing in with iOS 7. But I think it's something that, you know, you can show to other people in your company and say, hey, look, this is how it's working. Maybe we can get some more resources behind this and roll it out in a fuller capacity.
Well, yeah. So, so like one of the first questions that has come up a lot over the last couple of weeks, and this is actually a pretty easy one to answer. The questions that come up would be like, if Apple is doing mobile application management now, then what happens to mobile application management vendors? And the answer to that is pretty simple, because you know you still need some sort of third party service on the other end, and like Apple still doesn't seem to be wanting to go into the business of providing that third party service that interfaces with the protocols. And it's probably a good thing. So, and since all the EMM vendors, you know, all the major ones do both third-party mobile application management and interface with that configuration profile, it certainly doesn't mean that like anybody's going to suddenly disappear.
No, and actually, it's funny. I'm actually working on a story on this that I was hoping to have done before this. God, chat.
But now you can use this chat to publicize the story.
But, well, so
that'll be coming in the pipelines. But, I actually ended up talking to a lot of MDM vendors because obviously VMware kind of announced, I think last week, end of last week or not too long ago, that they were changing their approach for the Horizon Mobile on iOS. They're essentially not ditching the container approach that they had been using, but Ben Goodman, their end user computing evangelist, had said that because of all these changes to iOS 7, these new features, the container approach is not as needed. And so they're kind of reevaluating their approach to iOS enterprise management, like as a result. And so I kind of called around to a few other talked to AirWatch and a few other MDM vendors, and all of them said that, you know, look, you could, you know, with an OS 10 server and, you know, Apple's configurator, if you're IT, you could do a lot of this on your own, configure profiles and push them to devices, but it still doesn't help you deal with BYOD and it still doesn't help you deal with Android. And so, you know, you're still going to need a tool to kind of take advantage of these new features and abilities that Apple's made available on iOS 7. So I think you're right. Like, I think like third-party EMM vendors like aren't going away as a result. And I don't think Apple has any inclination to become an EMM vendor. But I think the changes they made to iOS 7 are a clear indication that they listen, you know, when they have enterprise customers that are saying, hey, you know, we need these features, you know, don't ignore us. You know, it shows that they're at least actually listening to their business customers to make the management of Apple devices a lot easier and better to do in a business setting.
Yeah.
And Jack, what do you think about, you know, the idea of, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too far, but we've talked a lot in the past about standards and the need for MAM standards for MAM to really take off. Do you feel like Apple is now that standard?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that takes a lot of the pressure off of the standards conversation and, you know, hey, this is great. I should make a note that to return to this, because before, so to sort of outline the rest of the discussion, so of course what we're talking about today, we're taking the assumption that we want to be able to, for whatever reason, we want to be able to address management and policies on some applications and not address those policies, have those policies address other applications. And so, of course, like our conversation, you know, for the last year and a half has been like the only way to address policies on individual applications has been via the third party route of using the a third party vendor to modify the individual applications themselves and have those live in those could live on a device that doesn't have any special provisions for like addressing the applications individually. And so now we have this ability. Now the device has the ability to address the applications in a more individual way. But the point that I want to make is that in many cases, yes, you get like many of the same end effects, and you can do many of the same policies by using OS enabled management versus like third party enabled management. But at the end of the day, they still are different things, and they're fundamentally different things that you can do with each one, and each one has its like fundamental strengths and weaknesses. So it's cool, like it's great that by having the mobile application management built into the operating system, that's awesome that it addresses like the concern of like app to app communication between apps that are not designed to work with each other. So that totally takes the pressure or some of the pressure, I believe, off of the mobile app management standards discussion. I'm curious what you guys think about this this difference between operating system enabled MAM and like the MAM that we've been talking for the last year and a half that's in the app. Like now that there is OS enabled MAM, like what happens to that like app level conversation? Like I feel like some people are almost thinking like, oh, well, we can completely forget like specially modified apps and SDKs and app wrapping. I don't think we should be too hasty to still dismiss those approaches.
No, I mean, like you said, they do different things. But going back to what I was saying earlier, maybe this more limited approach, built-in approach, is kind of what we need. There's so few companies that are ready or in the mindset to, fully adopt and implement MAM, that I think this will kind of open the doors to at least trying it. And
oh yeah, because
it might trickle down to the more advanced, third-party vendors down the road. But I think for now, it provides a good stepping stone to application management that wasn't there before.
And for sure it's a heck of a lot easier because you don't have, for the last year we've been talking about all the difficulties about obtaining applications that are functional or that aren't enabled to work with a third party MAM platform. So like for sure like way easier. End of sentence.
Yes.
I'm just pulling up one of the articles that our contributor, Matt Schulz, wrote a couple weeks ago on some of the other iOS 7 features. And obviously open-end management was the top one. But there's, a lot more in the app management and also MDM that we should get into too. On the app management side, I think there's kind of a big, somewhat overlooked change to the volume purchasing program that we should talk about.
Oh yeah. So what do you know about like the ins and outs of how, it's like the reclaimable licenses.
Yeah. So I remember, I went to Macworld not this January, but 2 Januaries ago. And so I guess it was January 2012. And the I was in a session and I basically turned into a big gripe fest about how, you know, Apple's VPP,
about the VPP.
Lets you buy, you basically buy redemption codes for apps and deploy them to users. But I think even then it's more like you're buying them an iTunes gift card and you're telling them to download this app, but they might not necessarily download this app. And even if they do download the app, it's tied to their iTunes account. And once they do something with it, it's theirs. So if you're in a BYOD shop and they use a redemption code for an app that you bought, once they leave the company, they're taking that app with them.
Unless I think there was
device. So basically, right. How it works
any device.
Is you're, as a corporation, you're buying, say, 10,000 licenses, and then you're basically just giving those software away to your employees to do whatever they want with whenever they leave the company. And so there was really no power. I mean, you're basically just buying software. There's no way for a corporation to actually own the license for the software that they were buying until now.
Now, wasn't there – now, so actually, 2 points to that. But, like, most of the stuff – like, I always thought that, like, one of the main reasons why the VPP, like, wasn't a super huge deal because just, like, you know – like most mobile apps in general, you know, are just clients for, you know, for SaaS, and you know, you're going to be licensing and paying for the SaaS, and you can do that like in all the real ways, and you know, the clients are free. Like what? Yeah. I guess other than like what serious you know apps are people using? And actually, you guys probably have some like good examples, but like I'm trying to think of like the best examples of serious apps that people are using that like they actually have to buy and that aren't just like free clients.
Yeah, I mean, I would think like QuickOffice, or if you're buying Pages, so any like document editing.
But then like in theory, so if we go along with like the concept of what the EMM vendors do, like if you buy Zen Mobile and ShareFile, then like there's your document editing solution and it's licensed like as all part of like your, you know, Zen
right, but,
everything
yeah
platinum.
Sure, but right, but how many, I think we have to forget that like a lot of companies are, they're just dipping their toes.
Oh yeah right? Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, for to say like, oh well, you know, they could just buy, you know, ShareFile and use the native like document editing capabilities, and it's like, okay, well, you know, that assumes that like, you know, they know that that exists, and yeah, that you know they have ShareFile to begin with, which,
yeah, that assumes that everyone's buying ShareFile.
Right, so you know, I think a lot of it's been, you know, kind of a hit and run approach to, you know, most of the companies I talk to, you know, they're still saying, yeah, we do MDM, but really we just want the ability to remote wipe a device. We don't really want to do anything beyond that. Like I'd say 9 out of 10 companies I talk to, like remote wipe is pretty much as far as like their like enterprise mobility strategy goes.
Yeah. And maybe like set up email and Wi-Fi.
Set up email. Yeah. Wi-Fi, you know, a few other things. But, you know, I'd say the large majority, it's they're just thinking about, you know, very basic, you know, how do we get, you know, email and some information on the devices, and how do we then, you know, be able to protect our data if anything happens.
So, and this is another thing where, like, going back to what I was saying about open end management, you know, there are a lot of barriers and, you know, hesitance, as Jim was just talking about, to go that extra step in your enterprise mobility management strategy. And a part of that has to do with, you know, buying apps for people. And I think this is another change in iOS 7 that will open that door a little bit. I can easily see IT people saying, you know, maybe there is an app that I want to buy for a pilot program for, you know, a couple dozen of our users, but I don't want to give it to them and then never be able to get it back. But now in iOS 7, when you're able to assign apps to specific users but retain corporate ownership over the license and take it back when they're no longer with the company, and then you know, redistribute it to a different employee, I think that might make them a little more open to giving it a whirl.
Yeah, and you know, and it's occurring to me that, you know, we have all these, you know, these very esoteric down in the weeds discussions about how enterprise mobility management and different features could theoretically be used. But it's just occurring to me that like all of this stuff is making it easier and more accessible. I don't know. Does that seem right? Or am I being too like, yay, everything is sunshine and rainbows?
Yeah. I think so. You know, certainly. I mean, I think if you look at the changes and even just kind of the discussions that I've been having recently with a lot of, like, people are really excited about the changes that are coming to iOS 7.
Like, do you think, like you said, like nine out of 10, companies, like, all they care about is, you know, set up my email, like, make sure I can wipe the phone if somebody loses it. Like, of those 9 out of 10 companies, now that iOS provides that ability to do more, do you think they will?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a company that I don't talk to, or just anyone who's sort of in the IT. Like, mobile is the topic on everyone's mind. It is driving every single conversation, and I think every company understands that. I think that it's a bell curve, right? I mean, it's a spectrum. Like, some companies are ahead of the curve and really tackling it head on and going mobile first and embracing it. There are a lot of companies in the middle that are trying to, okay, we need to get mobile devices. Let's figure out how to make this work. And there are some companies that are behind the curve and kind of dragging their heels. But all of those companies are all thinking about mobile. They're all thinking about how to get there. They're all thinking about the best way to approach it and to approach it in a way that protects them, you know, protects the corporate data, but also makes their employees productive. Because I think at the end of the day, they all recognize too that if they're going to go mobile, well, you know, they're not doing it to enable, you know, playing video games. They're yeah. doing it so that their employees can be productive, so that, you know, they can check their email 24 hours a day and be on call and be working in off hours and be working when they're, you know, waiting for their kids to get out of sports or while they're, you know, watching a kid's baseball game or going for a walk, et cetera, et cetera. So I think some of these features are definitely, I don't know anyone who hasn't thought that these new features are a welcome step in the right direction in terms of, you know, allowing users to have their own devices, but also have corporate apps on there that, you know, the per app VPN connects back to the corporate network, you know, without, you know, needing to set up too much, a container, you know, these heavy handed type scenarios. So, you know, I do think a lot of these changes are a welcome step in the right direction.
And it's really a no lose situation right. for yeah. Apple, because Apple is currently doing nothing around anything that we're talking about. There's no application management. The volume licensing has its problems. Like, the baseline is, you know, people complain about issues here and there, but it's not holding people back from allowing iOS into their workspace or anything like that.
Well, and this
so,
is, the crazy thing is that, you know, as great as these improvements are, you know, iOS has still become, I think, for the most part, most companies, that's what they're standardized. If they move to a new mobile device, they're not moving to Android. They're not moving to Windows Phone, and they're going with iOS. And I think, believe it or not, like, this is going to, I think, help solidify even Android or iOS and Apple devices, the iPhone, iPads, being Although, even more of a corporate standard.
And even, if it doesn't, Apple is not, like, there's still the third-party MAM vendors. Apple's not cutting off access to anything or pulling yeah. back anything. The worst that happens is all the stuff comes out and nobody uses it.
Yeah, they're like, hey, here are these new features that our, you know, third-party MAM and MDM vendors can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And they're all excited to do that because they, I think, recognize that importance. So it's really a win-win for, I think, MDM vendors and Apple and also employees in IT as well.
So here's a question for you guys. I don't know if you guys saw that blog post. I think it was Wednesday by Vittorio Villarengo about the idea of commoditization and mobile device management. And so Like, so that's been – that question has been coming up recently. I mean, like, there have always been questions about the commoditization of MDM. But now that there's, like, MAM in iOS 7, people are saying, like – some people are wondering, like, is that farther going to increase the commoditization? And so I'm curious what you think – what you guys think because I have an idea about it, but I'll save it until after you guys go.
I think it's good because the commoditization, like building off of what Jim just said, it kind of takes away some low-hanging fruit that every MDM and MAM vendor had to deal with in terms of coming up with a way to, you know, just do the basics and then find the apps that will allow their code to work with the specific MAM product. So it has the benefit of taking that off the EMM vendor's plate, and it has the benefit for IT that now there's more apps that are available to be managed because you don't have to pick and choose based on which vendors support which apps. So I think there's kind of two results of this commoditization happening. But I don't think it's a full commodity yet because it's not you know, platform agnostic, and there's there's no commodity Android MAM.
Well, like what about this thing? So the one of the points in Vittorio's blog post was that like some of the vendors, the price is just going down.
Yeah, what is SAP charges about, like, I think like $1 for like a Faria or something, like $1 per user per device. So yeah, I think look, and you can see that happening with online cloud storage, right? I mean, those prices get driven down, and there's always a price war when people are competing. There's a feature war. You know, you talk to, you know, I think AirWatch is, you know, when I talked to them, they said that, there's definitely some features that when Apple, you know, comes out with that, you know, they previously offered that, you know, makes what they offer, you know, you don't necessarily need, it's not a differentiator for them anymore because Apple offers it. You know, so they work hard to try to stay one step ahead of and augment what, you know, the device manufacturers, Apple and Android are offering.
Yeah, I think it'll actually spur more innovation in the market because the vendors don't have to worry about doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. Apple's got that taken care of, and now they can branch off in different directions and use resources a little more wisely.
They can value add in other ways, which that was like that.
I
was
trying not to say value add. I already said low hanging fruit. If I say leverage, just you know, hit me with something.
Such a cliche.
Well, so what about, I wanted to mention one of these, what I wanted to add is something that I've thought about for a while is, you know, there have always been like dozens and dozens and dozens of vendors that like just happen to offer iOS MDM because, you know, like unlike Android where you have to like figure out how to build an app with iOS, like, you know, delivering profiles over the air, like the profiles, they're standardized and they already exist. And it's relatively easy, not to trivialize anything that anybody does, but like if it was that hard, then there wouldn't be like 100 vendors that could do iOS MDM. But like as what the configuration profile does is becoming much more complicated, and especially like there has to be like so much more nuance and flexible ways of doing, of working with configuration profiles that so like now the thing is just being able to like deliver a basic profile over there and click a button, a couple of buttons isn't enough. There will have to be like what you do with it on the server end will have to be more complex.
I think it's going to need some sort of advanced tie-in with AD or other identity management systems. That's pretty much the only way I can think of to make sure that every employee has the correct configuration by tying it to their roles and needs within the organization. And I know some of that exists now through different MDM providers and their ability to apply policy to configuration profiles, but the number, you know, the amount of detail that's going to go into those profiles is going to be, you know, increased a lot, and it's not something that you'll be able to do on a person by person basis manually.
Yeah, yeah, and so I think, like, I think this means that, like, even so I think after iOS 7, there will be like a lot of the more basic MDM products out there. They're going to be going to market like, hey, we have mobile application management now, and but like the differentiation will still be in the like flexible ways of using, you know, what's there, like what's provided automatically by Apple.
Right. Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of mam washing, to co-opt the term from the cloud market.
You heard it here first. Hey, no, like I 100% agree with you.
I mean, like you said, if Apple's doing all this and they're an MDM vendor now and they tie into configuration profiles, now they can say they do mam, but they don't do anything different. It's something that IT people are going to have to keep an eye out for, and, you know, really ask the questions, you know, what do you do that Apple doesn't do, because...
Or how do you allow us to use the configuration profile? So that subtlety of configuration profile usage, because basically, you know, like before the conversation was like, okay, you want to manage the device, that's like an MDM configuration profile thing. You want to do the apps, that's something else. And we had this mindset in our mind, like device level policies is done with Apple's profiles. App level stuff is done with third parties. But now, like, you know, so but now, like I'm picturing somebody that would want to do like certain use cases that might have been like just apps only without profiles could now be with profiles. I guess, do you see what I'm getting at here? And so that means that like the way that we have to think of like MDM configuration profiles is that we need to like not automatically think device level policies with them.
Yeah. I don't I kind of lost you I lost you a little bit, to be honest with you. Were you talking about like being able to tie policy with, so if you have
if you wanted to deploy like, you know, a password protected app to a device in the past, it would have just been like whether or not the device was managed would have been irrelevant, or like, well, so maybe like a story is a better way of illustrating this. I was talking to some mobility people, you know, at a very large company, and they said, well, like one of their issues for, you know, was for German employees was, you know, that like in Germany, they were very, you know, like going towards we deploy apps only, to, you know, to the device, and we don't use MDM because of the potential privacy issues with MDM.
Sure.
So those like management features that you could have in the apps only, like if you want to do that using the MDM profile instead, like how do you, like, you know, for the, like for the authorities that you have to convince that we're not going to violate the privacy, you say like, hey, this MDM profile that in the past, like we sort of associated with like full phone takeover, well, now we're going to be using it in a more and more flexible way. And like, you know, while in the past you might have thought of it as like full phone takeover, now it's like more of an app. It can be used as a more app only thing. And like, how do you navigate the subtleties of that?
And that's a good point. And not even from the compliance standpoint and the privacy issues that they have in Europe, but just, you know, overall, employee trust in your IT department not to look at things. And with standalone MAM, you know, in the past, that was kind of like
the line is very well.
It was a cut and dry. it's not that we're not going to, you know, delete your photos or look at things. It's that we physically cannot do it.
Yeah, it's
going to be tougher for IT to say, well, you know, it's part of your MDM profile, so it's there, and I guess we could do it, but we're not going to, so don't worry about it.
Yeah,
that's less comforting as an employee.
I kept on accidentally talking over you there, and I'm sure the listeners love that. But yeah, like you're saying, it's when your work app, like when it's just an app, we're like used to that. We're very, people and users. Well, maybe I'm not the best example of a user, but like you're used to the idea of something being an app, whereas like if it's coming in as like, what is this profile thing taking over my phone? Like, we're not used to going to like, you know, downloading, installing profiles for stuff. And the commenter in the chat room hit on this, said, it seems like Apple will need to add a lightweight mode that is less privacy intrusive by not allowing a full app inventory, full device wipe, etc. And that's interesting because if you go, like, if you look in the Apple configuration utility and look at the contents of the profile, specifically there's that MDM payload which establishes the device's connection to the server. Like, there are the checkboxes on there where you can say, like, does the server have the permission to query the device for installed applications, or does the server have permission to initiate a remote wipe if it wants to? So you can always uncheck those boxes. And when you install the profile on the device, it does specifically tell you what permissions the server does and doesn't have. But like, still, that's a long way. That's a big jump from like just installing an app. So right. How do we make that, like, if we use that approach, how do we make that clear?
I mean, it comes down to policy and education, right? So, I mean, a lot of this is less of a technical issue than I think a communication issue that you need to, that IT needs to work out with their employees.
So
I think the other part of the, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. The other issue with, you know, using configuration profiles to deliver, to manage applications is, I thought the whole point of MAM was to get away from the device-specific management, and it does that. You know, it'll still manage the device, the applications on that device. But if you want kind of like a holistic, just shoot me now. I'm too much vendor speak. But if you kind of want that overall, application management, regardless of device, you know, the configuration profiles are only going to go so far to help you accomplish that, as opposed to, you know, if you're using something like Zen Mobile or Horizon, where, you know, you can also get apps through your Windows apps delivered through different endpoints and things like that. Seems like this is still going to be a limited use case for managing apps on your iOS device. But if you want to control access to applications wherever a user is, it's going to be very limited.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like IT could benefit from maybe like an end-to-end mobile solution.
Well, if they leveraged it, yes.
Well, so like,
with
so
secret sauce to
Colin,
preferably as a service.
Colin, one of the things that you mentioned, like, so like we've been spending like the last year, you know, talking about how everyone is like, hey, manage just the apps, not the device. And it's like, hey, just manage the apps. Oh, using like full like configuration profiles. It seemed like part of what you were hitting on, like, if you want to just deploy like one or two apps with just a couple of app level policies, like using configuration profiles to that, like, it seems like a big commitment.
That too.
Like if I use my iPad like just once every now and then, and all I really need is like one app, but like the whole, you know, I have to like enroll it and, you know, log into it.
One of the other things in iOS 7 is that IT can enroll users automatically now and doesn't have to have the users self-provision So that's one less thing off the user's plate.
But like my personal iPad that I use for work, like about once every other week, like, you know, easy to enroll and easy to provision or not. I think, and the commenter in the chat room is saying, along the lines of, like, if Apple were to enable a way to get this, this MAM-like functionality without such a strong, connection. And I think Apple's point would be, like, the configuration profiles do enable that. If you just use, like, all of the, you just don't turn on all of those other permissions and policies. So this comes back to where, like, if your EMM solution, like, if you want to do something that would have been, like, a third-party MAM thing in the past, but now you want to use iOS configuration profiles to do that, like, your EMM solution cannot just simply offer, like, the cookie-cutter, like, policies. You need to have, way more complex ways of using of deploying profiles, which is kind of what I was mentioning earlier.
And in an ideal world, you would have an EMM product that you feed the policy into and the identity management into, and it automatically spits out configuration profiles that handle the app management when you're on an iOS device, and then does whatever it does for the other endpoints that employees might be using to access, or the other apps that employees might be using to access corporate systems. And then you're still doing the same amount of work, but it's compiling it in the right way to be read on whichever platform the user's on.
So let's talk about those other platforms. It's funny, like, we've had device enabled mobile application management, in various types of Android for like a long time, and we never got excited. Knox was pretty cool, and there are all the mobile virtualization things, and hey, it sounds like we're a lot more excited about iOS 7 than we are about any one particular one of those other things. And so I guess that's just a symptom of that's because of Android fragmentation.
Well, and also it's in terms of like the mobile virtualization, which you brought up, I feel like that has been overpromised and underdeliver for 5 years now. So that now by the time that it's actually available on the Samsung Galaxies, everybody's like, well, that's great. But, you know, those phones have been out for a couple of years, or at least a year now in one of the cases. It's kind of just like, meh, well, I'm glad it's out. But, you know, I got excited about mobile virtualization back in 2009, as opposed to iOS 7, where nobody really knew what Apple was going to say. They put up this like one somewhat vague slide at the keynote that they didn't even reference verbally during the WWDC. And then all this stuff comes out a month later, and it's kind of like a huge knowledge dump for everybody to take in. And I think that's kind of why we're more excited about it, just because it's an element of surprise and not something that it's something that we're anticipating and not something that we got so tired of anticipating that we gave up on.
I think there's also going to be a lot more too. I mean, there's a few things that they put on that slide that I think a lot of the conversation is focused on, but I get the sense from talking to some developers and stuff that there's a lot more like under NDA that I think they're, you know, don't want to talk about for fear of getting retribution by Apple. But I mean, there's been hints that they are
certainly
coming
doesn't
out
stop
with
a lot of people.
No, it doesn't stop a lot of people, certainly. But I think that the rumors about having fingerprint scanning APIs have been kind of heating up lately, and obviously with the acquisition of I wrote about it. I can't remember the name of the company is at this point, but that they bought last summer. That might Authentech, that might come to fruition with the next, iPhone, next iOS devices and be within iOS 7, which I think would be certainly exciting. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's
so out of curiosity, neither of you guys happen to be in the developer program, do you? I am not I thought about it's hard because, as people who write and blog, I would love to be I would love to be looking through all that information, but since I can't write about
it. Didn't Brian write about that recently, about why he dropped out of some
program or other? Out of the Citrix CTP.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I completely agreed with that. It from a curiosity standpoint, it's awesome. But if you can't do anything with it, I mean, I guess it would be good in like the 2 weeks leading up to the NDA so you can kind of prepare what you're going to do. But for the most part, it's just kind of like a big tease hanging in front of you where you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Except, you know, just your own personal gratification. But I feel like that would get old after a while.
Or you can just be one of those, like one of those bloggers. And not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with it, just, you know, blatantly, you know, write about it and show all your friends your iOS 7. And
right. I mean, if you want to find out about it, it's not difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Although, like, among renegade like bloggers that are ignoring the NDA, they're not talking about MDM features.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. They're all more of the consumer developer stuff and not what we're interested in.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So that's what I wanted to ask you guys. So now that while our mindset had been like MAM is a third party thing, now that iOS is making MAM also a platform thing, does that make do you think that'll make people like a lot make a bump for interest in things like Samsung Knox or mobile virtualization? Whereas before maybe there wasn't as much interest because they figure like, well, we have to do third party MAM on iOS, so we might as well do third party MAM on Android as well.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think, you know, I'll be curious to see now that Horizon Mobile is out, and especially now that it's out on devices that people actually use. So, you know, Samsung Galaxy S3 and 4 on Verizon network. If that takes off, if there's kind of an interest in there, although it seems to be that a lot of view shops are, you know, they haven't quite started to kick the tires on the Horizon suite and the mobile component.
Will you correct me if I'm wrong, but if you currently have a S3 or an S4, you can't just upgrade to mobile virtualization, right? Isn't it a hardware thing? Don't you have to buy a specific Horizon device?
Yeah, maybe I think it's, well,
I thought, wait, let me look up this article.
I think it's a software. I think they just push the update.
Is it? Because I remember that was one of the things that they said was holding it back for so long was because it was a hardware, like bare metal hypervisor on your phone. So I don't know if they gave up on that, and that's why it's finally rolling out on phones, because they just went to a software solution. But that would be a big deal if they did give up on that.
Well, so I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably should have thought to ask that when I talked to Ben Goodman, but I didn't even cross my mind. It could be a bare metal, and it could just be that this is on like new devices that are rolling off the factory floor now, as opposed to, you know, the older versions of them. But yeah, I think.
But here's a question for this is a, so like with VMworld coming up, obviously, you know, they're going to be full fledged into, you know, into iOS 7. But why not why not also correspondingly go like full fledged into supporting like Knox and Safe APIs?
You don't really provide any extra value as a third party EMM vendor if you're just building on top of, like, one of the things you would want above what Apple does is support for other kinds of platforms, and if you don't do that, what's the point?
Yeah, but I'm saying like since Horizon Mobile and like Knox and Safe, you know, like Knox especially, you know, in concept do a lot of the same things, you know, just by taking advantage of like the Knox APIs, like there'd be a larger addressable market.
I've heard the Knox, those APIs are really expensive to license.
But surely that can't be as difficult as like getting the
if you've already put money into going down the hypervisor phone path. I mean, why would you, if you've already poured money into that thing, and you think that maybe that's a better solution, that, you know, people can just activate it, you know, wipe it. Why would you then pour additional money into basically helping Samsung and Knox out?
Yeah, yeah. Interesting note, like so many, like several different times I've heard recently that, like, in North America in particular, North American knowledge workers, so like 90% iOS, and like of the 10% that's Android, like of that proportion, like 90% of that is like Samsung. So yeah. Obviously, like, outside of North America, the case is very different. But since this Android, it was making me think about, you know, the fragmentation issues, and like, well, hey, it's not fragmented if everybody buys Samsung.
Yeah, and it's not as I get the sense too that it's getting a lot better, and certainly Google, you know, one of the things that they've done by being able to push updates to their apps and services. So they came out with the, and I forget the name of it, but they've basically decoupled app updates from the operating system itself. So if you're, you know, an Android 2.3 or whatever, and you're not going to get an update to the operating system, it doesn't really matter, because you can get updates to the apps and the stuff that you really care about.
Yeah, yeah, but that doesn't do, like, that doesn't do any good for, you know, like somebody who, like, they want to take advantage of Samsung APIs. Like, if you bring in an HTC, like, still not helping you.
No, well, that's, yeah, I mean, well, and again, I think it's every organization's different. And so if you're an organization, you need to try to lay the foundation for the offhand chance that not everybody's going to have an iOS device, that you're going to run into perhaps a Windows phone if you're doing BYOD or whatever. But I think if you're moving down that path, you're putting a plan in place to be able to support, you know, a certain tier of devices. And, you know, maybe certain devices have more access to the network than others based on certain requirements. But I think that's, you know, every organization has to work that out from the get-go. I think it would be disingenuous to assume that if you're an organization, you're going to support every device and every operating system just the same in terms of your mobility strategy.
So we're coming up on the end of the hour. Just out of curiosity, are you guys going to be out here for VMworld?
I will be, yes. We should do a live version of the show.
Yes, yes. James?
I will not be, sadly. I didn't get the call. So,
but you get to go to Orlando in October.
I do get to go to Orlando in October.
Hurricane season.
I'm looking forward to that.
Is that another BlackBerry conference? Or
no, it's I think the Gartner.
I forgot what this
Catalyst
one's called. Is it Catalyst?
Something,
yeah.
Maybe some Gartner conference. So
Eric Schmidt's keynoting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I guess final thoughts on this iOS 7 mobile app management discussion.
Just to recap, kind of my overall point, I think it's a very good stepping stone, built-in pilot program type of thing that will expose more IT departments to MAM. But as our further discussions in the course of this hour showed, I don't think it'll be able to do everything that IT will eventually need from MAM as they move to like a cross-platform and cross-device application management focus. But that's still a ways off. So for now, I think it'll be good for Apple and good for IT and good for the MAM industry overall.
Yeah, sounds good.
And I would say that I think from what I've heard, I mean, this is going to be the most significant change to the operating system, like you said earlier. And actually, we didn't get to talk about this a whole lot, but I actually think the most significant changes has less to do with the enterprise mobility management pieces, which are significant. But actually, I think a lot of the changes that the applications can take advantage of, so a lot of the, you know, single sign-on, you know, background data, multitasking. I think there's
multitasking will be huge.
Yeah, I think there's some significant changes into the way that like applications are going to be developed for iOS 7 in terms of those features that go in terms of productivity. So allowing, you know, employees to be more productive with the apps on the device. I think that that's actually going to be a much more significant change for organizations going forward than maybe some of the management capabilities.
Yeah.
And I know we didn't get to talk about that a lot, but you know, that could probably be another podcast for another day.
Yeah. Like once my Facebook app can start updating itself in the background, now I can like Facebook while I'm like read all the posts while I'm in the subway. So I'm looking forward to that. It's like that multitasking thing. I'm surprised that this didn't come up yet. Because, you know, we always have this discussion about email and third-party email apps. And, you know, like I've been like I use third-party Gmail and, you know, I think like third-party email apps can be awesome. And now they get like one more thing going for them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other features.
Can
with the,
be being the operative word.
Right. There's a lot of other features in the native mail app too that I think will help. There's larger document type support, and they're doing smart mailboxes so you can help organize things better. And I think there's also some extra integration with Outlook, which would be great because if you could integrate your tasks and your more detail on your flags instead of just noting that something's flagged or not, but what your due date is and everything, that would be huge for me because I use those to pretty much rule my life at work.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, this was an awesome conversation. I guess this is what we have for today. So for people listening, I hope you enjoyed hearing our conversation. I certainly enjoyed talking about all this stuff because, like, well, you know, I'm an MDM nerd and just... talking about
at least there's one out there.
You gotta get a shirt that says I'm an MDM nerd and wear it to VMworld.
Oh yeah, I should do that. Well yeah, thanks guys for joining me, and thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks Jack. Always talk to you soon, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks out there at VMworld.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
Great, thanks,
bye.